All right, members of the committee, members of the public, we're going to call the meeting of Appropriations Subcommittee on Education to order. Administrative Assistant, could you please call the roll?
Madam Chair, Senator Diaz, Senator Vaxley, Senator Book, Senator Flores, Senator Mofford, Senator Pizzo, Senator Simmons. Madam Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. And also like to note that Senator Book has been excused from today's meeting. Also, for everybody, a reminder to please silence any electronic devices that makes noise. And anyone wishing to speak before the committee, if you could please fill out an appearance card if you haven't already done so. I want to welcome everybody to this committee. I feel like this is a committee of people who are very familiar with how this budget has worked, probably even to some degree, have had more experience sitting on some of these committees than I have. So we have a wealth of knowledge from the members of the committee. And just for a quick moment, we'll just run down the committee list, let them just do a quick introduction for those of you in the audience and all the millions that are watching at home, kind of who we have on this committee. So Senator Simmons, if you'd like to start real quick.
Certainly, and thank you, Madam Chair. It's an honor to be on the committee with you. I know of your tremendous love of education and the whole process. It's going to be a great time working with you. And again, it looks like we've got a great committee as well. So it's kudos to the president and to you and to the entire staff who. We know so well. I am from District 9, which is all of Seminole County, as well as the western southern portions of Volusia County.
Vice Chair Diaz.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and it's an honor to be able to serve on this committee with you. And, I've dabbled in education a little before, but just a little bit. And I'm from District 36 in northwest Miami-Dade.
Also new to this subject matter, Senator Mumford.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've dabbled in this a little bit, too. Look forward to working with you, Madam Chair. It's always been a pleasure to work with you, and I know you know what a great staff we have on this committee, but it'll be fun. I've been at District 3. I have 11 counties, and that's Taylor, Hamilton, Jefferson, Madison, Leon, Wocolo, Franklin, Gulf, Calhoun, Liberty, and Gaston.
And Senator Cruz is auditing the Education Committee for information on education appropriations, and welcome to our committee. Other committee member is Senator Pizzo.
Jason Pizzo from District 38, 15 cities in northeastern Miami-Dade County, the newly elected freshman senator. Finding my way around here. I apologize for being late, Madam Chair. It won't happen again, even if I have to sleep here tonight. But I'm very excited about serving on this committee and under your leadership. Thank you.
And also Senator Baxley.
Thank you, Chairman. I am Dennis Baxley, country undertaker, serving Lake Marion and Sumter counties. And it's an honor to serve with you. You have a deep bench and a lot of people who have touched education. And I'm sure under your leadership, we'll see Florida students prosper. Thank you.
And in addition, we have Senator Book, who I said earlier is excused from this committee, also has a lot of knowledge in the subject matter and a lot of interest with two young twins growing up will be in the future of our education system. And then we also have Senator Flores, who is also part of this committee. Again, a person who's had a lot of wealth of knowledge of what's gone on in the world of education through her tenure in the House and the Senate. So now that you know who all of we are, I was going to turn the mic over to our committee staff director, Tim Elwell, who has done this as long as anybody as well, and can and give a little bit of an introduction of our professional staff that will be working with us.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good afternoon, Senators. I'll start with Joanne Bennett. Joanne's behind me. She's very fortunate to have Joanne. She's our committee assistant. She's a senior staff member who has a lot of experience in legislative processes and procedures, so we're in good hands with Joanne. Kira Smith, who's behind me, I think to my right, maybe. Kira is an expert on funding issues for state universities and private colleges and universities, and also, very importantly, I think to many of you, find as we go along, She's also the committee's primary contact on questions and matters relating to local funding initiative procedures and processes. And lastly, but not least, Mark Armstrong. Mark, I think most of you know Mark. He's been around a long time. He knows a lot about public education and particularly the FEFP, which is a very complicated subject, and also and just in general on funding matters related to public schools. He's also responsible for VPK and workforce education in your school districts.
Thank you. So as you see, if you were to add all of our years, I think, in our in the process of education interest, I think we're probably close to a century, maybe if you put, you know, for the various different public service and what we've done. So we have a lot of knowledge in this committee. We're looking forward to tackling the tough subjects, as some of you may have heard from the earlier committee on appropriations. There's going to be a lot of changes in education as far as just the number of students that we're going to have to serve and how we serve them to make sure that we have a budget that's going to be adequately meet the needs of everybody. So with that, what I have asked the our staff director to do is kind of put some historical information together for all of us. I am not a fan of reading PowerPoints to people who I hope can all read themselves. So he will do a pretty top level kind of a view, but in the packet that will be available is more depth of detail. So anybody who'd like to have more of that information, they're welcome to see it, review it, and then we're always available for questions. So I'm also dealing with a little bit of a cold, so the longer I talk, the more likely that I'll get into a coughing fit. So I'm going to turn the mic over to our staff director, who can go through the presentation of some historical overview of education funding.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just a quick overview of what's in your packet and in the presentation. We'll begin with just sort of identifying the budgets and budget entities that are within, within this subcommittee's jurisdiction. We'll give you a brief funding summary of education, at least in the current year. And then, as the Chair said, we'll also provide some fairly detailed historical information on enrollments and funding for education. And before anyone gets too nervous, I know there's a lot of information in this packet. I'm only going over the first two items. The rest of that information is there. I think it's a lot of good information, as the Chair said. Of course, we'll be happy to answer any questions. If you're looking through the material and you want to have a question answered, we'd be happy to do that. But I only plan on going over the first two items in the meeting this afternoon. Just quickly, and I think most of you already know this, having dealt with education before, in our pre-K-12 budgets, we've got several different types of programs, beginning with early learning. And really, there are two major programs in early learning: school readiness program, which is largely federally funded and affects a wide variety of students, ages birth through up to 12 and even a little older in some cases. And then you have our constitutional program, the voluntary pre-K program. Florida Education Finance Program, that's our biggest funding issue in education, and that's your public school funding. Then you have non-FEFP programs, and there's some major issues in there. Best and Brightest Program, the Gardner Scholarship, Schools of Hope, Reading, the FICE Guardian Program, and the Florida School for Deaf and Blind. You have Education, Media, and Technology. We don't typically have a lot of big decisions in that area, but occasionally you will. Federal programs, that's largely your Title I and IDEA. And then the State Board of Education. And a lot of times in the past, we've had some issues there with regards to the assessment budgets and related K-12 assessment issues. Going on to higher education. District workforce, you've got your school district tech center and tech colleges operated by the school districts. You have the Florida colleges, of course, state universities, student financial aid, mostly state. There's a little federal, but it's primarily state. Private colleges and universities, probably the two big issues you'll be familiar with there, are EASE and ABLE, which provide tuition assistance to students who attend some of our private, not-for-profit types of institutions. Vocational rehabilitation and blind services and Board of Governors. Just give you a real quick summary of sort of the current year education funding in Florida. And in this slide, you see the total funding for each of your major programs and policy areas, which include both higher education and pre-K-12. You can see there the total funding for all areas across roughly $34 billion in the current year. Now, this does include funds from all sources, state, local, and federal. However, it does not include any fixed capital outlay or PICO funds. As you can see, the public school system, as I said earlier, is by far the largest slice of the pie here at 70% of education funding in 18-19, followed by universities, colleges, and so forth. This next slide, I don't want to confuse anyone, but although the awarding of PICO funds is not under this subcommittee's jurisdiction, that's the jurisdiction of the full you will likely have, and often do, have to address policy issues or questions regarding fixed capital outlay funding for education. Whether it's the public schools, your charter school funding, or whatever, you'll have some issues that come up. And this slide shows you the estimated current year fixed capital outlay totals for the various major, or should say various education systems and issues. Again, it's both state and local. One of the major takeaways from this slide, if you look at the row for the public schools there at the top, you'll see it's $4.3 billion. And I point this out because, as you can see, most of the school districts' fixed capital outlay funding comes from local sources and not from state appropriations. And that's primarily $1.5 million capital improvement revenues as well as local auction sales tax. When someone folks talk about public schools' capital outlay, most of that is not in the appropriated by the legislature. This next slide just shows you a little bit of a split just for pre-K-12 education, again, from all funding sources. Again, FAFP, public school funding, is 84%, or roughly $21 billion of the pre-K-12 appropriation in 18-19, followed by the various programs like federal programs and so forth. Just one thing to kind of note here, one of the budget areas in this area that's grown fairly significantly over the last 5 years is non-FAFP. It currently sits, as you can see, at about $735 million in the current year. Now, in contrast, the total appropriation for non-FAFP in 14-15 was roughly $300 million. So it's more than doubled in the last 5 years. Now, this is probably due to, this is primarily due to the creation of several new programs like the Gardner Scholarships, the Best and Brightest Teacher Scholarship Program, Schools of Hope, and then last year, the FICE Guardian Program. Just, again, state, local, federal funds most of education. You can see for pre-K-12, state funds about 53%. General revenue is a large portion of that. But there's also a couple of trust funds that are created specifically to fund education, in one case, pre-K-12. And that's your Educational Trust Enhancement Trust Fund, Lottery, and then the State School Trust Fund. Federal funds is about 10%. That's primarily Title I. IDEA, but also for school readiness, which I said earlier is largely federally funded, that's your child or your CCDF. And then local funds obviously is a big issue in K-12, and you'll hear this, I think, if you heard the Appropriations Committee meetings this afternoon or this morning, you'll hear a discussion of required local effort. So local funds provide a large source of funding for our public schools at about 37%. This slide does the same similar thing for higher ed, just sort of breaks it down by major program or issue. You can see state universities account for a little bit over half of the appropriation for higher ed, or I should say the funding for higher ed at 57%, followed by colleges at 23%, and the rest, and so on. Probably similar to the pre-K-12, I want to note one area of this area that's been growing pretty significantly over the last 5 years, and that's student financial aid. You can see right now it sits at $841 million. In contrast, in 14-15, student financial aid was roughly $441 million. So it almost nearly doubled in the last 5 years. Now, why is this? This is primarily due, I think, as you probably know, to some major changes in Bright Futures Scholarship, primarily linking it back to tuition, the creation of the Beniquisto Scholarship, and then a historic 80% or $120 million increase that you provided, the legislature provided, in the state's need-based aid financial aid program back in 17-18. Then lastly, this again just shows you the breakdown for the various higher education funds, state funds 65%. Primarily the thing here is you also have a large local source for higher ed, and that, of course, is student tuition and fees. And that, Madam Chair, concludes my prepared remarks.
Thank you. And as you can see, members, you still have about another 25 pages of graphs and details and things more in depth to breaking all of these down. So I want everyone to know that it's not a matter that we don't have all of this. We just didn't feel it was best use of our time to sit here and read all of these through to you in the committee. And everyone has a various different interest of this budget, and it is there for our availability to look at. Do any of the members have any questions? Okay. We do have one member of the public who took the time to come to Tallahassee and like to speak with us today, and that would be Marie Claire Lemon, wants to discuss, as a public school parent, would like to discuss public education. Thank you for your concerns and for being here.
Hi, thank you. Welcome back. Welcome to the committee for those of you who are new. I'm not really new, and I am from Tallahassee, so lucky for me, it's easy to come here. Not sure that's a good thing for you guys. I plan to come as often as necessary to offer a friendly reminder of your responsibility to adequately fund public schools. I'm among the vast majority of parents in Florida that choose to send their children to public schools. My kids go to three different Title I, C and D schools here in Tallahassee. These are the schools that are often characterized as failing. My family does not feel trapped in failing schools. I have a fourth grader who loves her school, who just won the Tropicana Speech Contest, is going to the district to compete. I have a sixth grader who was very well prepared for middle school. He transitioned very well, was student of the month in October at his new middle school, where he's very happy. And I have an 11th grader who's very successful, and I'm not going to brag about her because she'll never speak to me again. And if you've had teenagers, you don't want that. We know that that's not the case for every student in public school. We know that I have privilege. We know that my children have privilege. I have a job that allows me to be here in the middle of the day to come speak to you. My children have resources that can palliate for lack of resources in their schools. And this is why we need to adequately fund our public schools so that we can serve the varying needs of all of the students in public school. 86% of the students in Florida go to district-managed schools, public schools, traditional public schools. These kids are your primary responsibility. And I worry about our push for choice. We need to be sure that we are not just creating advantages for some kids, that we are not creating a way out for some kids at the expense of all students in Florida. We can't say that we're striving for equity, which is the mandate of public education, if we're also at the same time trying to create advantage for some kids. Thank you, and I'll see you again, I'm sure.
Thank you for taking the time to be here, and thank you for your passion, and congratulations on the success of your children. So I think without any other business before us, we will call this meeting adjourned and look forward to seeing you next week. So Senator Diaz moves we adjourn. With that, we're adjourned.